Our speaker today, David Sain.
Thank you. In recent years, the landscape of religion has undergone numerous changes, including such things as the use of pragmatic methods of evangelism, the shift from the traditional to a contemporary style of worship, and the sanctioning of appointing gay people to positions of leadership in denominations. In my judgment, all of these and other unscriptural changes are the result of a growing disregard for the authority of the Bible. And regrettably, I have witnessed this growing disregard for the Word of God among my own brethren. When I first began preaching, the prevailing sentiment in the average listener was, "Well, if that's what the Bible says, that settles the matter." Now, however, the alarming and growing sentiment is, "Well, I know the Bible says that, but..." And at that point, the listener's subjectivity takes over, and he begins to interject his personal point of view instead of submissively accepting what the Bible says. As we witness the changes that are taking place in religion and we ponder which direction the church shall go in the midst of the current challenges, it is vital to know the role that the Bible plays and how we should regard it. Some view the Bible as a devotional guide. Some view it as a source of comfort and consolation in times of sorrow and distress. Some view the Bible as a collection of ancient literature that is out of date and irrelevant to modern man. Some people say the Bible is the Word of God, while others think it only contains the Word of God, unwilling to accept the accuracy of everything in it, and unwilling to believe that every word of it is inspired of God. So how should we view the Bible? Here are some answers to that important question. We should view the Bible as the Word of God. Inspired writers in thousands of verses affirm this to be the case. Jeremiah does so nearly 500 times in his two Old Testament books. Ezekiel does so more than 300 times in his book. Zechariah does so more than 80 times in his book of prophecy. And on the list goes. The Bible declares that God spoke by the prophets. David said, "The Spirit of Jehovah spake by me, and His word was upon my tongue." 2 Samuel 23:2. Jeremiah recorded that God spoke unto him, saying, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Jeremiah 1, verse 9. Throughout the pages of the Bible, we are told, "Thus saith the Lord." Indeed, the Bible is the divinely inspired Word of God. In 2 Peter 1:20 through 21, the Apostle Peter wrote about the Scriptures revealed through the prophets. He wrote, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." This affirms that the prophets spoke by divine inspiration. They did not speak by their wisdom, but as moved by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul declared the same thing to have been true of the things spoken by him and the other apostles. He wrote to the Corinthian Christians regarding the origin of that which he taught, and he said, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13. So Paul and the other apostles did not speak on their own, in other words, by their own wisdom. They spoke by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that was a fulfillment of the promise that Jesus gave before He left this earth. He said, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." John 16, verse 13. Further, in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13, note that Paul said that the words which they spoke were words that the Holy Spirit taught them. So the Holy Spirit did more than give the apostles an idea or a concept that they developed on their own. Instead, the inspiration by which they spoke and wrote was a word-for-word inspiration. Furthermore, when Paul gave a compliment to the Christians at Thessalonica regarding their attitude as they received what Paul spoke to them, he also confirmed his words to be divinely inspired. He said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." 1 Thessalonians 2:13. When Paul spoke as an apostle to the Thessalonians, they did not hear the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And he commended them for understanding that fact and for receiving it as such. A well-known scripture that affirms the inspiration of the scriptures is what Paul wrote to Timothy, his son in the faith. He first warned Timothy that more and more deception would take place as evil men wax worse and worse, 2 Timothy 3:13. And then he told Timothy to continue steadfast in the scriptures that he had known from childhood, because they are able to make one wise unto salvation, 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. He continued his confirmation of the power of the scriptures with the declaration, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God," 2 Timothy 3:16. Therefore, we conclude that we should view the Bible as being the inspired Word of God. We also should view the Bible as authoritative. If the Bible is inspired of God, then it is His Word, the Word of God. And that means that the Bible is authoritative because it comes from Him in whom all authority resides. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. The authority of God's Word is indicated in the words of the Apostle Paul when he said to the Galatians, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Galatians 1, verse 8. Since Paul's words were by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:13, his words became the standard of authority by which the Galatians were to measure anything preached to them. The well-known words of John also indicate the authority of the Word of God. He wrote in 2 John verses 9, 10, and 11, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." The Hebrew writer declared that God has spoken unto us in these last days by his Son. And Jesus said that whatever he spoke came from the Father. John 17, verses 8 and 14. Thus, John, in 2 John 9 through 11, said, "The doctrine of Christ was the standard by which we are to measure that which is preached." During his earthly ministry, the chief priest and the elders of the people came unto Jesus as he was teaching and said, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" Matthew 21, verse 23. Friend, everything that we teach and do religiously is either by divine authority or by human authority. And it is important to determine the authority for everything we teach and do. A sign that says, "Authorized Vehicles Only," has an unmistakable meaning. A sign that says, "Authorized Personnel Only," is likewise clear. Well, similarly, God has made it clear that only that which He has authorized is acceptable to Him. We have the right to do only what God has authorized, and we receive authority from Him through His Word, the Bible. For emphasis' sake, I repeat, the Bible, the Word of God, should be viewed as our source of authority in all religious matters. And next, the Bible should be viewed as the truth. To say that the Bible is God's Word is to say that it is truth. This is the case because God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18 and Titus 1 verse 2. And since God cannot lie, then the Bible cannot lie. That is, it cannot teach that which is not true. Whatever the Bible teaches is true, is absolutely true. Whatever the Bible teaches to have happened, actually happened. In other words, what the Bible teaches to be the case, actually is the case. Because what the Bible says is what God says, and what God says is the truth. John 17, verse 17. Also, the Bible should be viewed as absolute truth. The truth of the Bible is absolute. That is, it is free from and independent of the conclusions of the reader or the student. In other words, it does not depend upon individuals reaching some conclusion about it. The truth of the Bible is truth regardless of what conclusions people reach. The truth of a proposition is not changed by the conclusion that someone reaches about a matter. This is, of course, in stark contrast to the theory of relativism, which holds that truth is dependent upon the conclusions that one reaches. Someone may say, I have been rethinking the matter of the role of women, or I am rethinking the matter of baptism. Well, one may rethink these and other matters and change his mind about these subjects, but that will not change what the Bible actually teaches. To illustrate, if, when I am preaching, I look at a microphone before me and call it a pencil, does that change what it is? No, it does not. I can say about it whatever I want, but it will still be a microphone. And so it is with the truth. Man may say what he will about a biblical matter, but what the Bible says about it remains the same. Furthermore, the truth of the Bible is constant. That is, what was truth years ago is still truth. I continue to hear and read things like, what the Holy Spirit told the Apostle Paul may not be what the Spirit is saying to you and me. But friend, that accommodative thinking notwithstanding, the message of the Bible remains the same. The Bible teaches now just what it taught before any of us were alive to study it, and it will teach the same thing long after we are gone from this earth. Consider what is implied when one comments that the Bible is out of date and irrelevant to the culture of the 21st century and does not address the life of modern man. It implies that Almighty, all-knowing God was incapable of writing a book that would remain relevant in all ages, or else He chose not to do so, in which case He has lied in scriptures like 2 Peter 1:3 and 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The constant unchanging truth of the Bible is clearly and unmistakably affirmed in the Scriptures. The Apostle Peter wrote that the Word of God liveth and abideth forever, and that the Word of the Lord endureth forever. 1 Peter 1, verses 23 and 25. The psalmist praised the Lord with the words, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119, verse 89. And the Son of God himself proclaimed, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Matthew 24, verse 35. Again, the Bible should be viewed as attainable truth. Not only is the truth of the Bible absolute, it is also attainable. That is, men can learn the truth of the Bible. In a world that is permeated with relativism, the growing sentiment, even among devout people, is that we can never know for certain what is the truth of the Bible. And if you follow that reasoning to its ultimate conclusion, you decide, as multitudes have, no one has the right to judge another person to be wrong. However, such reasoning contradicts what Jesus said. To those Jews that believed on him, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8, 31 and 32. Since our being a disciple of the Lord depends upon abiding in his word, Jesus here implicitly teaches that one must be able to learn and know the truth. It would be impossible to abide in it unless we're able to first learn it. In Ephesians 3, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul said, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Again, that's Ephesians 3, verses 3 and 4. He said they would understand when they read it. Later in that same letter, Paul added, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Ephesians 5, verse 17. To Timothy, Paul wrote that God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2, 4, which carries the obvious conclusion that all men can know the truth. Does this mean that we can fully understand all that is in the Bible? No. However, those things that are essential to salvation are, with proper study, easily understandable. Any person accountable to God can understand and know that baptism is essential to salvation. While the figurative language of Revelation will require more time and greater study to comprehend. However, one does not have to fully understand everything in Revelation, for an example, the mark of the beast, in order to be saved. Friend, we should view the Bible as all-sufficient. The Bible is a complete revelation of the will of God for man. Peter wrote, "His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." 2 Peter 1, 3. Now, if God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, then there can be nothing that pertains to life and godliness that he has not given. Therefore, we conclude that we have received a revelation of all spiritual truth that is essential to salvation. Once again, we turn to the powerful proclamation regarding the Scriptures by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Note first the four ways in which Paul affirmed that the Scriptures completely equip us. One, they're profitable for doctrine. 2, they're profitable for reproof. 3, they're profitable for correction. And 4, they're profitable for instruction in righteousness. In a quite simplified summary, these four qualities of the Scriptures assure us that the Word of God is able to take us in any spiritual condition and upon proper response lead us to become what we ought to be. Also note that when Paul said that the Scriptures completely furnish us unto all good works, we can be sure that everything that is essential to our salvation and acceptable service to God is revealed in the Word. The Bible is the complete revelation of spiritual truth, notwithstanding the modern-day claims of those who say that they have received revelations from God. I totally reject their claims. If what they have received is the same as what is found in the Bible, then it's not a new revelation. If it's something other than or in addition to what the Bible reveals, then the Bible would not be true in its claim of completeness and should not be trusted. Jude wrote of the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 3, in the New King James Version. There is no need for any other revelation from God. There is no need for any creed or statement of faith by man. The Bible is our creed, and it is the only statement of faith that we need to offer people. My friend, let me encourage you to be a diligent student of the Bible. Search the Scriptures to make sure that what you're taught is true, Acts 17, verses 10 and 11. The Bible should be more than the book that you use to settle an occasional argument with a neighbor. The Bible should be your daily companion. It should be an integral part of your life. The Bible is God's Word. Thank you for listening.